let's talk about this body mapping idea in context of that story you tell about the blind painter, because that's really trippy.
Very cool. I know. So this guy's name is Esref Armagan, and he's a Turkish painter. He's been blind since birth in both eyes. And so he was imaged recently, or his brain was imaged in a lab by a guy named Alvaro Pascal Leon at Harvard. And so he was given these objects to feel. I think he had a coffee cup and a toothbrush, stuff like that. And then he was asked to draw them on paper. Now, he, of course, can't see, but he can draw really beautifully. He can draw, you know, objects, and he can draw people, he can draw scenes. So you wonder how he can do that. And it has to do with what's called plasticity. So this guy is born without a visual input coming to his brain. So he has no visual maps. And if you put your hand on the back of your head, your visual cortex is back there, and that's where all the tissue is that you use for seeing. That's where your visual maps are. So he had no vision there. So the adjacent maps for touch and for various senses, hearing and so on, the rest of his body, invaded that tissue that would normally do vision, so that when he was asked to paint or to feel something and then paint it, he could do it via touch. So his visual cortex wasn't empty. It was just filled in by all these other senses, and that's how he was able to paint. When people read Braille, they're able to read the letters through their fingers. They don't have, you know, visual cortex, but they can read perfectly well. But you can, with a magnet, you can knock out their ability to read by knocking out the visual cortex, which is where the touch map is coming in.
Well, totally, but I think it was about the painter that even tripped me out a little bit more was how he was able to do these things in very sort of complex dimensional representations, and it reminded me of the movie, the not very successful comic book movie that I liked, but nobody else did, called Daredevil, which was based in a comic book series about this guy who is blind, but has, especially now that I understand the body mapping idea, essentially uses his body map and the body maps of other people around him, and he's able to visualize things just through that interaction.
Right, there's Japanese movies too, The Blind Swordsman, wonderful films about people that can be these martial artists, you know, with swords, and they're just using their peripersonal space and hearing and touch in order to move through the world very accurately.
Yeah.
So it makes you appreciate how your physical intelligence, your bodily awareness is really fundamental to your ability to move around in the world.
Your
other
totally
senses,
agree.
Like hearing and sight, they're very prominent in your awareness. They have, you know, they're very fancy senses. They have lots of bells and whistles, and you know, we love them all. But sort of more self-effacing, but far more important than any one of them or all of them put together, the others put together, is your body sense, and that emerges through this network of body maps that you have. That's the core of your sensory being.
I'll go back to some other things, because the mind then also can sort of play tricks on the body, and I want to talk about this a little bit because I think it informs some conversations we've been having on Coast to Coast. So plasticity, in a way, can kind of go wrong too, can't it? I mean, there are times when it can start to work against you. Can you talk about that a little bit more?
Okay, so you have these very faithful maps for, let's say, playing golf or tennis, or basketball, or any, let's take a sport. You have very finely honed motor maps. Or playing, even better, a musical instrument. Let's say you're a violinist or a guitarist, especially a stringed instrument. Your fingers are just flying over the frets and on the strings, and your finger maps, actually, for musicians, for the play string instruments, their finger maps are larger than yours or mine. They have them, they're kind of beefed up from playing.
So the more they play an instrument, the larger their fingers grow in the map of the mind.
Right. The representation in the brain is larger for the finger. And when you're learning to play an instrument, those maps grow in size. as you become a master of an instrument, the primary map gets a little smaller, but there's a whole nest of motor maps, so the motor skill gets moved up a hierarchy eventually, but that's sort of a detail. But when you are learning an instrument, or let's say to take an instrument, your finger maps will get bigger in your brain in the motor area. But what can happen is that if you learn something so well, the map can blur. So you're able to move your fingers, but in your brain, let's just hold your two fingers out, your middle finger and your index finger, those maps can become fused in your brain because they're just sort of overused, and they're this happens with a musician's cramp. So a violinist or a guitarist will suddenly, their hands get kind of ham-fisted. They can't move their fingers over the strings as well, and they kind of, it can actually ruin careers. Or piano players have the same problem. And what's happened is that the individual finger maps usually have a map for each finger. They fuse in the brain. Now, you look at your hand, you still have five separate fingers, but the map in the brain is fused. So you can't play anymore. There is a technique, though. A guy in Europe developed a technique for splinting the fingers and doing exercises and then driving the map apart again.
In the
so
brain.
Able to cure musician's cramp.
That's right. Yeah, the hand map, it's sort of become like a mitten. The representations of all the fingers have blurred together. But to an understanding of how plasticity in the brain works and how the hand map comes to be in the first place, this technique actually re-separates the finger maps and allows the musicians to play again.